This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
After the witching hour, and we're just gonna go ahead and I'm just fucking with you guys. Welcome back to the Kill Dead Podcast. I'm your host, Gray. Tonight, I'm joined by my internet co-host. We have Devin, we have Ash, we have one other person that will never speak. How's it going, guys?
Wait, hi,
wait, what? I'm so confused.
I just wanted to add a little mystery and intrigue for 2021.
Do I have to share the spotlight with somebody else? I don't know if we can handle it.
Ooh. And it got a sexier voice. Ooh.
Ah.
Competition.
Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year's. Or New
Happy.
Year. You know, just right up top, we'll get topical. It is January 7th, real time, and I am done with my free trial of 2021 and would like to cancel my subscription.
Yeah.
Because people don't know how to fucking act right.
You can say that again. Preach.
As a person of the DMV area, obviously the events at the Capitol, I don't think near and dear are the words to me, but it fucking sucks where you have to rearrange your day-to-day life activities. Because people want to show their privilege. There's no other way to say that. For me, it isn't a protest. It isn't people fighting for a just cause. I don't get it. I never will. And I hope that some point people will look back at this and be like, man, we cannot let Americans look so fucking stupid in front of the rest of the world.
Oof. Yeah, 2021 got off to a very rocky start, thanks to the siege at the Capitol yesterday. At what point is there a reprieve? Do people just stop with the bullshit? You know, this is scary. I'm really, really tired of, as a Black gay man, my existence is controversial to some people. You know. And like you said, Gray, this was not a real protest. This was terrorism. This was a terrorist act on our land, and it needs to be treated as such. I'm not a violent person, and I'm not trying to sound dark when I say this, but I don't understand why a lot of people weren't shot and killed yesterday at the Capitol. If those people had like a drop of melanin in them, they would have been dead. But for some reason, they were not only to take control of the Capitol, they were able to break into the building, go into the offices, steal mail off Nancy Pelosi's desk, brag about it on Twitter, and your president, Donald Trump, who hopefully when this episode comes out has been fully impeached and removed from his position, just sitting back in his bunker, watching, dancing, eating popcorn, enjoying it like it's a TV show. This is ridiculous. This is not something that should be happening in 2020 or 2021 in America. I'm sorry, it should not.
You're not wrong for saying 2020. I mean, some parts of this feels like a continuation. I do want to interject for 1 second because these people didn't actually break in. Many of the reports I've seen and witnessed photography,
you're right,
they were just let in. Mm-hmm. Cops just moved aside. It wasn't anything like the initial approach was, we're just going to let this happen. And I'm not talking about Mayor Bowser or any of the officials below the White House. But it was definitely
an inside job?
Yeah, so another thing for people who aren't aware, Capitol Police are different from DC Police. They're two different divisions. So the Capitol Police are the people who stepped aside. The Maryland Police Department, Virginia Police Department, and DC Police Department were the people who ultimately had to get control back. So when you see those same guys, Secret Service people, pointing guns at people, they were the same people that let the people in the fucking building. So it's hard to say, oh, you know, plenty of people can make arguments. I'm not for or against it, but defunding the police. Because to an extent, they can be bought.
Yeah. Not only can they be bought, they can also take selfies with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that too. That was the most upsetting. It wasn't so much because, you know, during the Black Lives Matter protests, I chose to believe, I guess at this point, ignorantly, that some of those cops were doing the wrong thing, in my opinion, because that's their job. But after the events of yesterday, it is clear that more of the cops are just doing what they want to do because they enjoy it.
They have a choice.
Yep.
They just walk their happy asses in there without a scratch. Mm-mm. That... Oof.
Britney Spears' ex-husband, Jason Alexander, remember when Britney Spears was married for like a day?
Uh-huh.
Her husband. Was there? He was there.
Of course he was. Oh.
I don't know why that upsets me a lot, but yeah, he was there.
Wow.
So.
I can't even talk more. I've talked about it with like my best friend and stuff. I can't.
Yeah, I had to, like, yesterday when this was happening here in California, I was aware of this around noon. So it was in the middle of my workday. And I'm watching the news and I'm trying to work. And I'm like, I can't work right now. I don't give a shit about what's going on at work right now. Like, this is our country is under attack. And then afterwards, I said, you know, I'm just going to have a drink. And I want to watch something on TV where Black people are having joy.
Right.
You know, watch some Living Single. We watched Class Act again last night with Kid and Play.
Kid and Play. I was trying to think. I was like, why do I know that one?
Yeah. I mean, sure, the movie is an exercise of how to exploit colorism. Sure. But it's still about a bunch of happy Black people. And that's all I wanted.
Yeah, that's what I got on Twitter. I was like, you know what? Here's a picture of my dog sleeping. You're welcome. Like, let me try to express some happiness and joy, but I'm so fed up with this shit. It's bad enough I have to see this. It's bad enough that I have to see people like I've known since elementary school condoning this. It's bad enough that there's a house up the street from me that has a Trump flag and a Confederate flag flying in the air. I am tired of this.
Wow.
Like, people seriously need to wake the fuck up. I am fucking done.
It's like, what do y'all want?
Whew.
Actually, I don't give a shit what y'all want. Stop it. Just stop it. Knock it off. Go back to your country if you don't like the way this country is working. Mm. How about that?
So true.
Just how y'all told us to get over it, y'all need to get over it.
Yeah, fuck. And then today, and this is it's kind of horror news, but they've released some of the first images of the upcoming Purge movie titled The Forever Purge. Mm-hmm. And it looks kind of like what we saw yesterday. So I'm like, I don't want to see that right now. Y'all chose the wrong day to release those images.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Wow, talk about read the room.
Right. There's only guy like I'll wait till July. I'm sure I'll be fine in July. Hopefully. But not today.
Well, I think while we're on the subject, this would be a good opportunity to just get right into some horror news. Ash, why don't you elate us with something spooky, scary, frightening?
Well, first piece of news, I don't know if you guys remember seeing the trailer of the film, The Woman in the Window, starring Amy Adams. It is going to be released. Oh, okay. So, little premise. Let's see. Amy Adams, she plays an agoraphobic child psychologist, and she befriends a neighbor across the street from her apartment, and her life gets turned upside down when the woman disappears.
Didn't this come out? I thought this happened.
It didn't. It was supposed to. But
yes, I did. I just watched it yesterday.
Don't say that. I'm just kidding. Hold up. You got the hookup? I thought it was the hookup, but no. So it was supposed to be released, but Mr. Rona, you know, he did what he did. So Netflix was able to get the rights and will be streaming it this summer. Okay. So that's another film you could be looking forward to. Also, starting, let's see, January 15th on YouTube, the YouTube channel Fear, the Home of Horror, will be streaming all of the Universal Monster classic films for free. So if you've never seen Dracula, Frankenstein, The Invisible Man, if you've never seen any of those films, now is your chance to watch them for free.
I will do that because I've actually never seen any of those movies. I hate to
admit. I mean, yeah, I'll admit I haven't seen probably like three of them, so I'll make sure to...
If either one of you have a Universal Blu-ray player, I will be happy to send you a box set.
You know, what do you mean Universal? Like
it can go both ways.
I just have a regular. Oh wait, I might. I don't know. I'll check.
Okay. Ash, is this channel owned by Universal, or is Fear the Monster like just a regular YouTuber?
I believe it's just a regular YouTube channel, but they got the hookup, and I guess they worked out a deal with Universal, and will be streaming all these movies. Like, each movie has a different release date, but it says each film will be available to watch for a week. So, you gotta make sure you make some free time and watch some movies.
I think maybe that's just good marketing on their part, because I'm willing to bet most of those movies are free domain.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, only here a week, because we just want people to hurry up and watch it before they figure out.
I'm mad at it.
No shade. Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking about it. And clearly we're not sponsored, because my mouth runs rampant. One thing I'm particularly excited for is that in 2 weeks' time, Wrong Turn hits movie theaters.
Yeah.
So hopefully by the middle of February, we'll be able to watch it streaming.
I was going to ask you, are they doing like VOD or no, that's only for Warner Brother movies. Never mind.
Right. So the other people have to wait whatever the new, I forget how many days it is exactly, but whatever the new agreement is, of theaters get it for 3 weeks exclusively, and then it goes to VOD. This will be the first movie, I believe, that I am aware that I'm going to purchase as planned, whatever the price is, because I really want to see this.
Whatever it takes. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know, some things I was glad I waited on, like The Craft Legacy. You know, if anything, I feel like they owe me money, but...
They owe everybody money. Like, that was... They tricked us. You know, I mean, we had our doubts about it, but anyways.
Y'all are so rude.
Okay, well, fine. In happier news, I have contemplated for my regular 9-to-5, 8-to-4, whatever you want to call those hours of work and make believe, where people think they're making an honest living, but you can't really afford shit. Sorry. It is my turn to jump in line for the vaccine. So I will start the rounds before the end of this month.
Are you excited? And
you know what? Normally, I don't, you know, of our listeners, if you're on one side of vaccinations, on the other side of vaccinations, this isn't a pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine statement. So if you're triggered by anything like that, skip ahead. I'm not excited, but I am aware of my line of work, and it's just a necessary thing. like whether there are long-term effects or if there are no other things other than the current side effects we know of. It's just one of those things I have to write out because I also don't want to randomly die working at this job that I don't particularly care for that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm stuck in the middle because, I mean, I work, in education, and it's just like,
Yep.
Agreeing with what you're saying, the line of work I'm in, I might have to, but at the same time, I don't want to. I want to let this play out and see what happens, but I don't know. I'm just stuck.
Yeah, it's hard, but don't get me wrong. Everything works out. You will catch me in a fucking movie theater, so.
I'm not ready to deal with no Raccoon City.
Two buckets of popcorn, please. I'm eating this whole film.
Extra butter, please. There's nothing in this bag. I mean, there might be a bag of Grippos in my purse, but don't worry about it. It's all good.
But you know, either way, light at the end of the tunnel. I have been working all the way through this. My company did not shut down or stop for any amount of time to readjust or whatever. So it would be nice just to feel like you can go to work. And, you know, we have protocols. Every place probably does that still physically works in a building. But you just never know. Because there are people who just don't work with me anymore. There are people who are just not on this earth anymore that worked in these same buildings. And there are moving right along. I can't believe. So we obviously have planning sessions and have talked about this internally. And maybe fans care or do not, but thank you for still listening to us. We have never, ever, ever covered the movie New Year's Evil. As a matter of fact, until part one and part two of today, I had never seen the film, ever. It just never came up in my life. Oh, okay.
Really?
Well, you didn't say that on Slack. I thought I was the only one.
Well, that you never seen this film?
Yeah.
I told y'all.
I missed that text then. My bad.
Mm. Let me dig up my receipts like Jeffree Star. Hold on.
This is going to be a New Year's tradition for you guys.
No, it's not. I'm just kidding.
I'll be in the background where you're cleaning up. You know what I mean?
You know, I'm not going to lie. Not a huge fan. However, I think maybe, or no, I think it's interesting that I can't seem to find anyone ever doing a remake to it.
And this film is ripe for a remake. It really is.
Mm-hmm. It needs it. I'll allow it.
All right, first of all, let's do the brass tacks of it. New Year's Evil is the 1980s American slasher film written and directed by Emmett Alston and co-written by Leonard Nimoy. Just kidding. But I can't pronounce Neubauer. I think that's how you say it.
You got it.
Starring Kip Niven. Did any of you guys think... and Roz Kelly, who I recognize from Happy Days.
Uh-huh.
I was like, she did not age well.
Okay.
Well, this is during Happy Days. Great.
No, I mean,
it was the dress, wasn't it, or the heavy ass blush she had on?
No, I mean, Google her.
Oh, you mean now, 40 years later? Yeah, I imagine she looks a little different now, 40 years later.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about 1980s.
Oh, whoops, I was.
This is Happy Days' fifth season.
I don't even know how to recover from that.
Well, Greg, you know who else is in this movie? Is Grant Kramer, who played her son. You might recognize him as the lead guy from Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
No, I did not whatsoever. Because his hair's a different color.
Mm-hmm. I did not make that connection until I watched the movie again this year. He looks very different.
I talked about his character.
And those movies could only be like 7 or 8 years apart?
8 years, yeah.
Wow. Wow. No, I didn't. I just, you know, that guy looks like a low rent Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Oh my gosh.
Weren't you guys thinking that?
The killer?
No, her like
her son? Her agent?
Yes. Y'all didn't think like he looked like a young he's also not with us anymore, so what's his name?
Gosh. Her agent? I've seen this movie several times, and I'm literally watching it right now as we're recording this. I have no idea who you're talking about. My character went over my head.
The guy that was like talking to her at the beginning of the film?
Eindubid. Yes, that guy.
Was it Ernie?
I'm looking, because now you guys are making me doubt myself. He is not in any of these screen grabs.
I think you made him up, Gray.
Nope, I did not. All right. I'm going to continue this offline once we stop just for time, because we are doing a double feature, but we'll get into that in a little bit. So New Year's Evil begins on New Year's Eve. I guess she's supposed to be like a punk rock new wave. Oh, go ahead.
A punk rock Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Oh, Casey Kasem, good call.
That or really Ryan Seacrest for the kids. Yeah,
that's more topical. what is it? What's her name? Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
And she's holding her own little New Year's Eve party or countdown, televised. And for me, the one thing I think I found interesting about this movie was that in the very beginning, we see the killer.
Oh, and yeah. They don't make a secret about it at all.
Yeah. So, like, I was like, oh, that's an interesting approach. But then I was like, okay, slashers were really new. So I guess it wasn't that formulaic. But I was like, that's a bold choice. And because of the casting, I honestly got confused between Richard and Derek. I don't know why, but at certain points they kind of looked alike.
I did too.
Especially when, okay, it wasn't until they were in the bedroom at the same time, which we'll get to in a little bit, but I was just like, first of all, why were they both in the bedroom and why didn't the other one say that the other one was around? Or why didn't Derek say Richard's in the bathroom? They just kicked him out and he left. but when you have that Richard takes the mask off, I'm like, weren't you just wearing a cop uniform? Or are you two different people? Anyway, I'm getting ahead. But yes, I was confused.
Yeah. What I like... Oh, go ahead, Greg.
No. Go right ahead.
Well, I mean, what I like about this film is that we have this killer who's calling into Blaze's... Is it Blaze or Blade?
Blaze.
Blaze's televised New Year's Eve countdown, and because she's in California, they're doing a countdown for all three time zones, so he's going to kill someone during each time zone.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very unique, at least for this style of film that takes place. I thought they used the New Year's Eve backdrop pretty well.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
My only takeaway from that was, man, 1980 with instant replay was new technology.
Yeah, we were confused at first. The first time we watched it, and granted, it was New Year's Eve, so we were, you know, not sober. And I was under the impression that he was driving somewhere to each time zone to kill someone.
I did too.
Oh, wow.
I was like, wait, so how did you get here and then went over there?
Like, why did he do that? But yeah, no, he's in California the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I do enjoy the premise of, you know, someone at each, I guess essentially for 4 hours you're gonna kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of each hour, I just think that I'm struggling to say something nice about it.
So we're going to do spoilers, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I, can we okay. please?
So the premise of the film, is, because we know who the killer is from the very beginning, it's the husband of Blaze, and his motivation for killing is really paper thin. It's, I think he feels neglected by his wife because she has this, you know, this huge career.
Mm-hmm. She took away his manhood. That's what he was saying. He was like, bitch, you won't give me no allowance. Like, he was like, that's why I killed Yvonne, because y'all were talking to ha-ha-he-he about me behind my back. You took away my allowance. You took away my manhood. I'm sick of it. I was like, okay.
And coming off of what we just talked about, like, the black woman is the first one who's killed. And you don't really see her engage with the other principal characters. So it felt like a you know, something they added in just to increase the kill, you know, the kills and everything. But it felt really disconnected from the rest of the movie. And, you know,
okay,
racist.
Just, this is jumping super ahead, but mm-hmm. why is that the case for both movies we're talking about tonight?
Ooh.
So we're going to get to that.
One made in 1980.
I will say only in one of those cases, it actually makes more sense in the story. But yeah, both egregious, both very egregious.
Yeah, we've come a long way, but not at all.
Yeah, we're going to talk.
One of the things I think I like that the film does well is that the extent this man goes through to keep murdering people all night is truly unique. Like, he has all these costume changes, vehicle changes, and the stupidest people in California.
Yes! Think,
he was in Van Nuys, the best I can tell, by the movie theater or the drive-in.
And what was that thing he kept putting in his mouth to disguise his voice? It was like
what kind of voice box was that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you couldn't get anything else? Like, who?
Because he put it in his mouth like a toothpick, so it wasn't like he needed it to project something. But the whole thing is weird, y'all. That I don't know what they were doing in 1980.
It's like an older version of the same thing T-Pain uses or Charlie Wilson used, but like, he had the fucking bottom shelf cereal bag version of it.
He got the one that I could afford. Yeah.
Yeah. Runs on a 9-volt battery. Came in a box of cereal.
What I found odd about this film is we know who the killer is up front. We've all said this. But they've also, he's the killer, is the husband of the lead character. But they've also positioned her son, Killer Clowns guy, as a red herring, which doesn't make sense to me. He's acting weird. He's obviously frustrated with his mother. He runs around with a red stocking over his face.
He cut that right up. I was like,
yeah.
It's like an earring behind his ear.
For a hot minute, I thought like they were having an affair. Like
the mother and son?
Yes. Because I just couldn't understand his reactions. And it's like, are you mad that she has a husband? I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But clearly, I think that would have actually made it feel more interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Spice it up a little bit.
Mm hmm. She was an asshole too. She was very neglectful of her son. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Like, her career could not be been that important for you to neglect your child like that. Like, you are wearing like that dress. Like, come on.
I will say, I do like her outfits in this movie. I do miss the era of the 80s where like the over dramatic blush and mascara and like these sharp colors. And Ash, I need you to help bring that style back.
I got a Starbucks cup that looked like that dress she was wearing. I really do. I'll send you a picture. I was like, that's what it looks like. But I have a question. Mm-hmm. How was her son able to still be acting a fool after he took 3 pills? Like, I'm confused. He took 3 pills. I mean, they were just red pills, but I'm like, he was contemplating taking his life. He possibly took 3 pills. How is he still able?
Young body metabolism.
Drugs worked really differently back in 1980, Ash. So if you wanted to take like 3 pills of suicide, it's just gonna like turn you into a murderous, semi-murderous person.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. People will pop Quaaludes for fun, and that's a pretty serious fucking drug. Hence why it's banned.
Oh, it is?
As far as I knew.
I'll talk to you offline. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Wolf of Wall Street.
So you guys really did not like this movie.
I watched it again today, and I was bored with it. Like, just like my first viewing of it, I was bored. I was too busy doing other stuff than paying attention to the movie for real. Like, I just, I couldn't really click with it. It didn't really offer me much.
I think of this movie, like, I imagine other kids, young kids, watching the original Black Christmas. And they're just like, what the fuck is this? Because I didn't grow up with New Year's Evil. I think that it's just lost on me. However, I wouldn't be upset if someone remade it. At all.
Yeah, I think it's ripe for a remake. I'd actually be okay with even doing a like a sequel, a 40-year later sequel with different characters. So I guess that would make it a remake. Never mind. But yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, because I think some things just didn't hold up. Like when there's a scene where he's in the drive-in theater trying to escape. He commandeers a vehicle, and this girl is so high or half-dressed and or just generally stupid, she doesn't get out the vehicle while it's being stolen. And she just starts breaking down, I guess you could call it that.
You can have it if you want. I won't say anything.
And I was just like, your man just asked you for some action and you were like, no, next month. But this guy just holds a knife up while driving. And there was a little edit thing that messed me up too, because he's holding the knife and then later you see him flick the knife out. And it's like, no, you already did the long shot.
Oh.
Brandishing the knife. He's not going to whip it out again. Well, you know, maybe he did whip it out. Bazinga.
This is a kind of a typical 80s slasher film, and I think when people, condemned 80s slasher films for being exploitative to women and you know, misogynist, I think this would be a prime example of that, because
yes,
the women are punished in this movie for being women, ultimately. All the victims are pursued as a sexual conquest. And even our heroine, Blaze, she's ultimately punished for being a career woman. While I did make this comment that she's not neglecting her son. Sorry, I can't talk today. Her son is also a grown-ass man. We're not talking like an 8-year-old kid. Her husband is like upset because she's not at home, you know, cooking dinner every day. So this is also a movie like punishes women. So that's why I would love for there to be a remake. Written and directed by Sophia Takal.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Well, something must have happened to the husband, too, because, I mean, he did a stint in that rehab place that he was at in the film. So, I don't know, maybe he suffered from, like, a mental breakdown and he got sent over there, or an addict and he got sent there. Something happened for him to get sent there. And it was like, you know what? I'm going to go over here and kill somebody.
Right. I mean, you're not wrong. And maybe there's some fan fiction out there about this movie. I know Devin can't be in the minority of liking this movie, because Scream Factory released a Blu-ray version of this. So they don't really acquire the rights without. That's what Vinegar Syndrome's for. For movies that we just know are bad, but someone likes it. So I'm sure this movie has its audience. What I would like to ask you guys, and we've kind of already dabbled into this, but so we'll go with Ash first.
Of course.
How would you like to breathe fresh breath into this movie? I wanted to say franchise, but it's clearly not.
I just...
Like, is there a narrative you would like to follow? Like, maybe Derek, the younger years, or...
Yeah. That's... I like that idea. I just want to see, like, more of the family's backstory. Because there has to be a reason why they feel this kind of way. Maybe the husband was, like, the breadwinner, and then he... Like, something happened to him and he fell off, and then the wife, like, got her career, was, like, taking over, making all the money, and he was just, like, fed up, and then, I don't know, like, just more of the family's backstory. And more black punk folks in there, please, like.
Yeah, they did exist, or they do exist.
Yeah, you know what? I would like to say, and I don't know where this club is because I did not live there, but I want to say the Viper Room. I would like to believe, like, when Blaze was coming up in her early days, she played there. And then, like, he just came out of rehab and discovered her and, like, you know, played up to her, courted her. But he left rehab because he murdered his first wife. Mm. And then Blaze never found out.
Interesting. I would like...
Mysteriously murdered. Like, his first wife just disappeared and they didn't know he had a mental break. But then the movie is uncovering that he murdered his wife. Sorry, Devin, continue.
Scary. No, I think if we were to do a remake, I like the idea of this concept of a killer vowing to kill someone in each time zone during a New Year's Eve. But maybe make it more grand. Maybe instead of having one central character, Blaze, be the focal point of this killer, maybe make it a group of people, and they're all watching these murders online or, you know, somehow live, and they can't stop it because they don't know where he's going to strike next.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to expand upon this and maybe bring in a... millennial approach. These kids are jet setting about the world and they celebrate New Year's in every time zone. So they take to their jet, they're flying, and for whatever reason, someone doesn't make it back to the plane. And then, you know, you have that final third act where you realize that this is a Sullivan grandchild and they've been continuing the family tradition of murdering someone at each New Year's. So they just dump the body, go on. But you don't figure out who's doing what until the end.
Start writing your screenplay right now. Get that copyright.
I get 10% if this happens, y'all. Well,
then I'll have to delete this from the show because... Now it's free domain, and maybe rightfully so. If someone, you know, out there is listening and wants to write a treatment for this, I want to read it. I don't think I'm vested enough into the movie to where I would do it justice, but you know, I'm game.
Just give me a credit or a percentage of the royalties. That's all.
Yeah, I think Devin should definitely get paid out for this. It's definitely his work.
Yeah, no, nothing like this has ever been done before in the history of horror movies ever. So yes, do that. That was sarcasm.
Yeah, it's like, you sell it like that. All right, well then, let's go on and get to the part two of this night. We are... Devin, would you view this as a pairing, or would you a versus, or just now and then? How would you categorize the selection of movies tonight?
They can both fall into your New Year's Eve traditions. I would say New Year's Eve is more in line with you play it during the day when you're straightening up and cleaning up, and you just have it playing in the background. It's nothing you have to pay attention to. Our next feature, New Year's New You, I think that is something you have to pay attention to. So I don't think they go well together.
No, I don't. Other than they're both holiday horror. And thank you for the introduction. We're talking about the 2019, or I guess 18, right?
2018.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're celebrating 2019 in the movie.
Right. It's just been such a long year. I couldn't remember how old this is.
I forget what life was like before 2020.
True. I looked at this horse mouth actor and I was like, did I think this 8 years ago when I saw this? Or I'm kidding. Carly, you're a sweetheart. Anyway, shout out real quick to the Homies of Horror. If you guys have not and do not listen to their podcast, please do. They did a countdown of the Into Dark series from Hulu, of which this comes from. And if you're curious, you can find out where they placed it on their list. And if not, just show them some love. Tell them Ash sent you.
Yes, I second that.
All right, so New Year, New You is part of the Hulu anthology television series Into the Dark. This would make it the first season, or has to make it the first season.
Yes,
man, sir. This is really a while ago.
It's been 84 years.
Yes. The only actress I recognize was Suki Waterhouse. I don't know who Carly Culkin was, or Kyenkin, whatever, Kirby, Hawa Baptiste, and Melissa Berland. And so Sophia Takal wrote the script and directed it. She co-wrote it and directed it, but I wasn't aware of her, or she definitely wasn't on my radar as a director until Black Christmas 2019. Which I do understand. I think that that's how she got Black Christmas 2019. 3 months after this aired, she was offered the opportunity. I don't know why that sticks out of my mind. I want to say she was on someone's podcast and I heard that. So don't take it as Bible. And if you're a hardcore Sophia Takal fan, you clearly are listening to the wrong podcast. I'm not so fast.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, getting back on subject. This picks up with Alexis, who is a babysitter for some reason, played by Sophia. Nope. Played by Suki. And it's the opening scene, her babysitter is kind of like, well, if you know this famous person, the child she's babysitting, not the babysitter. It was like, why are you a babysitter? I was like, man, in my line of work, in my normal line of work, I talk to children. And some of the shit they say is from a genuine place of curiosity, but comes off like your asshole friend. Garrett, you've been talking about you wanted to lose weight for 2 years, but I see you eating a donut today. You know, like, I just want to know where your mind is.
Devin, you know there's a barber shop right up the street, right? Yeah.
Oh, my favorite one was like, oh, you work at Starbucks? Oh, I'm surprised they haven't fired you yet, like the other jobs. I'm like, huh?
Well, damn.
Good.
I was just joking with you when I said that, Ash. My bad.
No. Well, okay. Sorry, not to like get off topic, but like I went through like a 2-3 month period of like having a new job, like new part time job, like every other week. And so this student of mine, he's like, "Oh, you got a new job because they fired you?" I was like, "No." First of all, mind your business. Second of all, no. Third of all, mind your business. Let's just say I was salty as fuck on that Zoom call.
This is why I'm not having kids.
Okay.
I cuss my kid out on a daily basis.
Sorry about that.
Weird Ellie Bops. So we watched a video by Danielle, or maybe it's supposed to be like YouTube or Instagram. That part's not really clear to me, other than it's just vague social media. Am I wrong? You guys watched this a lot more recently than I have.
It looked like it was a YouTube channel or like a web series.
Yeah, Carly is definitely an Instagram. I'm sorry, Danielle is definitely an Instagram influencer or a YouTube influencer.
Yeah, like I remember Instagram comes up later when they're doing the Never Have I Ever. I was going to say Truth or Dare, but it's definitely Never Have I Ever. Because I can't think of another movie where four women get together and play games like Never Have I Ever.
Ash?
He's
being sarcastic.
Okay, sorry. Let's stick to some content. So I'm just going to skip right ahead. We have a group of women reuniting for New Year's Eve on the cover of things. There's some distance. Alexis had an accident that left her with a scar, which she believes is ruining her career potential as an actress. And maybe there's a small amount of PTSD affecting her judgment surrounding that notion. Anyway, Danielle, Alexis, do you remember the other two women's name?
Chloe and Kayla.
Thank you. Chloe and Kayla. Kelsey's the one that didn't make it. That's what I was thinking. What's that?
No, I was just saying, yeah. Yeah, Kelsey's the one that passed away years ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of vagueness left around that. Because, you know, passed away, committed suicide. Anyway. Suki and Danielle are kind of like, my best friend, we can have what sounds like heated discussions, but it is just a normal conversation. And, you know, because your best friends call you on your bullshit. Or sometimes just have that deep cut fucking thing that didn't need to be said in public in front of your wife because she didn't know that part of you.
We'll talk offline, right?
Right.
I'm divorced for a reason. So the initial interactions between them is just like, to me, it's like, bitch, you could have picked up a phone, you know. Banter between each other, and it seems like Danielle apologizes and everything's gonna be fine until they get to the Never Have I Ever game, where Danielle alludes to she spent a weekend with Elon Musk in Greece or some shit on what did they call it? The Electric Man.
Let's back up for a second though.
Oh, okay.
Because at this point between the four girls, Danielle is a major Instagram influencer, YouTube influencer, and the other women are struggling in their lives professionally, financially, creatively. And so she's like the rising star amongst everybody. So there's that added tension to this group too.
And she lets it be known. But can I just say that the facial expressions that Alexis was making, I've been there before. That is me right there.
Yeah.
I've been in her type of situation. Not how it played out later in the film, but like the whole friendship situation. I've been there before.
So you didn't kill a bunch of your friends on New Year's Eve, Ash?
We'll talk. Just kidding.
Yeah. I like you just said, I was watching the movie and at first I could totally relate to Alexis. We've all have felt overshadowed by a friend who's thriving and we're like, I'm at this point in my life, you know. So I thought the movie was going to be one thing, and it turned out into something else, and then it turned into something else. There were a lot of different twists and turns in this movie that I fully appreciate. Mm-hmm. I jumped ahead, though.
I don't think that you necessarily jumped ahead, because that's where this movie, to me, this game is where the movie takes its first twist. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as not playing by the rules or holding with, what did she say? She had an NDA, so she couldn't talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, right. Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me ask you guys this. Do you guys believe this story of hers at all to be true?
No. You could tell she's the type of person that would say or do anything just to get attention. I used to be friends with a girl that was just like that. So you can always tell when someone's making up lies. So homegirl was lying.
I see, but it's funny. I took it as she was telling the truth. But she was doing those things because, like, I don't know, she had access to do those things so she could talk about it. And her friend recognized that she didn't recognize that she was basically a hoe, as she called her in the situation.
Right. Well, I know.
That is a polite way of putting that.
Yeah. I know, like, every time she was, like, trying to talk, like, tell the story, she kept looking over at Alexis, like, yeah. Yeah, I did that.
Okay.
Like, she kept giving her, like, that whole smirk.
Oh, okay.
That's, I know. So I was like, yep.
See, I know she was doing about it for to fight. That, if she was doing it because, like, see what I did? I'm getting, like, one up on you. I'm getting under your skin, and I know it. And her friend and Alexis is like, yeah, you're getting under my skin, but you're still a whore in this concept.
Maybe it could be both.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Well, that's why I asked, because I wasn't 100% sure. I you know, I don't really roll with people who sign NDAs because whatever, broke pockets. But I also am on the other side of her details seemed kind of like not good. Like, yeah. I would and a sugar daddy, I'm going to take you away for the weekend type of thing. It's like, he took me shopping at Chanel. I got this bag. Then we went and ate at 5-star restaurants or Michelin restaurants. Maybe Greece doesn't have any. I don't know. However, I think that if you were going to tell people, you would just make with it.
Right.
So I can see either or. Or it could just be like, I'm just going to do the bare minimum because this bitch is being a bitch. And I'm going to pass the torch to you, Devin, because the next part of the movie is a blur to me.
Okay.
And I didn't have time to go back.
So we are doing spoilers, right?
Spoiler alert, if you have not seen this two-year-old movie, go watch it real quick. It's still on Hulu, not sponsored. And come back at this minute mark.
Yeah, because I don't know how we can talk about this movie without giving away spoilers. So
I actually found myself a fun little Easter egg. It's now 54 minutes. I want to see where this really ends up in the podcast.
So at this point where it's New Year's Eve, it's before midnight, Instagram influencer Danielle has her camera up and she's filming all of her friends, her three friends, and she's asking them to say, she's asking them what are their plans for New Year's of 2019. The first person she asks is her friend Kayla, who is a Black lesbian who recently came out to this group like 10 minutes prior. She wanted to know what her plans were for the new year. And Kayla said, I want to get closer to my family and friends and do the typical shit most people say. But she also said, I wanted to help and bring more awareness to what's going on in our country. And at that point, Daniela turns the camera off and says, I don't want to get topical. I don't want to talk about these. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to offend my viewer audiences. And so you're saying this to a Black lesbian in 2018, yeah, which was a major year of racial uprising in our country. So, you know, I already knew Danielle wasn't a piece of shit at that point. And then she goes around and asks everyone else what, she asks her friend Chloe, what is her plans? Chloe explains it, and then she asks Alexis. Alexis does not want to be on camera. Alexis does not want to play this game with Danielle, and Alexis keeps turning down the questions. However, Danielle is ignoring her. She's so in her zone of being this influencer that she's pestering Alexis before Alexis throws the camera across the room. And then things change. They make up, sort of, kind of, and then right as the clock strikes midnight, the tables turn, and then Alexis becomes the aggressor, and Danielle becomes the victim. Because all the three other women were victims of Danielle's bullying in high school, and this is their time to take revenge on her. So they tie her up to a chair, they spear some type of, what was that, face cream or avocado?
Yeah, it was the stuff that she gave them as gifts.
Okay. But she wound up looking like the Joker from Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. And I don't think that was by accident, because there's a lot of duality with all of these characters in this movie, just like there's a lot of duality with the Joker. We come to find out that the three women, Alexis and Chloe and Kayla, they had planned to assault Danielle on this night and force her to acknowledge her bullying in the past. She bullied all three of these women, and plus a fifth member of the group who it's implied that she killed herself, but they keep saying that she just died. But she killed herself because of Alexis or Danielle's bullying. At this point, I want to know, what did you guys think of this twist?
I thought that at the time,
why are you laughing?
I was like, this is a great movie for the Be Best campaign. some of you guys will get that. I wasn't expecting that. So at this point in the film, I was just thinking a bunch of catty girls still having a good time, because if my memory serves me correctly, the Into the Dark series was like, it was always setting you up for something. Like, I always felt like the movies were super long. So I didn't think that, I guess, are they called movies? Yeah, they're feature length, right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I call them movies.
Don't ask the real questions. However, when you see them all turn in the manner of we're in cahoots together type ordeal, I was just like, whoa, this just got way more interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, legit shit. What are these women about to do? Because I'm here for it. Up until then, it's kind of like, it's just people bickering. It isn't really substantial in any way, shape, or form. But you could tell that something was brewing, obviously. How about you, Ash?
sorry, I lost my voice. I think I could say one thing that kind of like zoned me out about it was they used the balloons to tie up, what was her name, Jessica?
Danielle,
sorry. They use the balloons to tie her up. I'm like, well, they could like put aside some strings or something like that. why they have to use balloons? But
like, what was the original plan, and why were they deviating already?
Right. But you could tell like the girls were. Like Kayla and Chloe were just kind of iffy about the whole situation. Like they were probably like all for it, like when they were planning it out. But then when it came to like reality, they were just like, I don't know about this. Like you tell Kayla was like, you know what? Like we went through with the plan. Like let's just move on. Like let's just move forward with our lives and focus on the new year. Chloe's ass is just a follower and is desperate. And would do whatever it takes to like get out of her situation. So she just doesn't care. She'll just like be your just like follow you around like a puppy dog. But
you know, that it's funny that you even said that, because it reminded me of high school, I guess, in their initial reaction, because it's like, you know, or if you haven't done this yourself, you've definitely seen it portrayed in a movie where like people make a pact to lose their virginity or to move to college together or to masturbate together. And then you always have that one person that kind of backed out.
Look, I want to back up for a really quick second.
Ray, are you trying to tell us something?
Is that a thing that people do?
Make packs together? Yes.
Well, masturbation packs, especially amongst. Well, okay, you know they're high schoolers, so I'm going to exit this conversation just as quickly as I got into it.
I'm not. Look, if anything I said as an example applies to you, then yeah, I know your demographic.
We'll talk offline.
But, you know, that was the thing. I was like, aren't they a little too old to be backing out of murder? Like, imagine if I know you, what you did last summer, they all agreed to go to the cops in the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
It's not going to be any fun. Also, well, why is that franchise not being revived?
It is.
It's supposed to, yeah.
It's becoming a TV show on Amazon. They shot the pilot, from what I understand.
Oh, well, that's not fun.
I agree. I prefer these. That works better as a movie, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at least it's on Amazon, so it might be R-rated. I don't need to see a CW version of.
No.
Oh, I know what you did last summer. No. I sorry, derailing the conversation. Ash, please continue.
I don't know what to say. I'm just...
Yeah, once you throw masturbatory practices into the works.
You get my attention, that's for sure. But I thought it took a really dark and disturbing turn when, at least for me, when Alexis went rogue. Because we get this, we know that Alexis, Kayla, and Chloe had this plan to scare Danielle. But when Alexis started to cut her hair and physically torture Danielle, it got dark for me. I said, this is scary. I don't know if I'm going to continue this.
Right. She, you could just look at her eyes. Like, she, homegirl was messed up in the head. Like, she has some trauma. And she was ready to, like, face that and like and let Danielle get what she deserves. But at the same time, I'm kind of confused. Like, there was a whole bantering back and forth between them. So was it completely like all Danielle's fault that the friend committed suicide, or was Alexis part of it too? So I'm just like, well.
Yeah, I agree with you. So as a whole, I actually really like this movie. And I know we'll get into that part later, but I really like this movie. My biggest gripes with it were there was a lot of vagueness around the events. In the beginning, I'm rewatching the movie again. There's no, I don't know, exchanges or glances between the three women who were in cahoots that this was going to go down. In fact, they didn't even think that Danielle was going to show up. That was a big question, right?
Yeah.
And what happened to the friend? Like, what exactly happened to the friend? Going forward in the movie, Alexis and Danielle sort of play against each other. And as an audience member, you're not sure what to think. Is Danielle really in the right? Is Alexis really in the right? We don't know who's the true victim and who's the true bully. And I think the movie, I think that was by design with the movie. And that's fine, but just certain other things didn't quite work.
Right.
But you know what? And it's a bit too late. And Blumhouse, you're welcome, because I'm going to give you a nice course correction right now. Mm-hmm. You know what else? This movie could have worked better if it was a sorority and this is the life of four women and one missing woman, making five. Any takers on Black Christmas 2019? This is what the fucking movie should have been.
I was confused.
I'm just saying, if it's still holiday horror, and if you're going to reinvent Black Christmas, I like this whole storyline better.
Yeah.
It could easily just been taking place inside of a sorority house and how women are turning on each other for whatever slights in life you think have happened. Sorry, the hamster wheel was just turning.
I like the movie. I really like the movie. I wonder if, like, what was the disconnect between this and Black Christmas? I imagine, yeah. I know this movie had a much smaller budget than Black Christmas did. And I thought they used their locations and their space really well. But also the characters feel more relatable and more real. And like there is, you have a vested interest in the characters. Mm-hmm. They weren't talking points for a specific agenda. I liked the movie, you guys. It was really good.
I did too.
I think Sofia Tikal showed a lot. I could see why she was granted a big movie like Black Christmas. Yeah. After this, she wrote the hell out of these characters, and she also directed the hell out of this movie. I think that, listen, all the shit I said about her before, I take back. I just think she made one bad movie, which is Black Christmas.
Yeah, and that's all it really comes down to, is that you never know. I'm sure you guys ever listen to Afro Horror?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was just listening to them today. I love them.
So, Sadie made a comment one, and maybe it's about two episodes back, about how sometimes directors just make a bad movie. And as a person that works in the industry, she's well aware of both sides of the coin. Still not afraid to call out other directors for making piss poor work, but also is aware that she's made horrible work. And I appreciate that statement, because I don't know you, Sophia, and I can't wait to see your next project. But if you or April just wants to admit that this was a swing and a miss, I think fans would be okay and accepting of it. Not this film. New Year, New You, fantastic.
Yeah, I actually really like this. Yeah. And you know, I'm okay with her, because I mean, if we're obviously going to compare this movie to Black Christmas for, you know, obvious reasons. There are certain similarities between both films. I think one film does it more successfully than the other. But I wonder if Tikal is going to make another holiday themed horror film.
With, maybe that's her thing.
Yeah, with women in the lead and in the primary role. Not one character in this movie was pining over a guy or was upset about a breakup or some shit like that. This is why we need more women in directing and writing films.
Right. Like with Black Christmas 2019, it was just like feminism, like right in your face, like just thrown in your face. This one, like, they had little conversations here and there, and I was okay with that. Like, it wasn't, like, all up in my face. So.
Well, let's be honest, just for a second. I don't think there are a bunch of people breaking down the door to offer her more work as a director.
Damn.
However, I would love to see the next project she writes. Or if she, I know she was an actress for a while. If she returned to acting, sure. And look, no one's knocking down my door to hire me as a director either. And I don't know the first thing about making a fucking movie. But I'm just saying. I don't want to get.
I would like to see her do a Valentine's horror.
What do you think about that? I was thinking that. Yeah, I think the two things that kind of bothered me in this film were, like I said, well, three things. The vagueness, like I talked about earlier. Why did Black girl got to die first? Just, you know. when she died, I'm like, all these hoes better die. Every single one of them, all of them better die. There have been, I've read too many stories where, like, there's a party of a bunch of women, white women, and there's one Black girl, and a Black girl dies. Like, I've read, like, three stories of that. So when I saw that, like, oh, gosh. But I don't think there was any intent with, you know, on the writer's side with this film of exploiting that.
No. I mean, someone had to die. And the character could have been written, you know, not Black at all. Because
the actors won
the role. It's still unfortunate that the only person of color in a gay character or queer character is off first.
And that was my next gripe with the movie. Y'all kill the lesbians off first? There's a such thing as called like lesbian death in films where lesbians are typically sacrificed for everybody else. This is a movie that has like five or six characters. I get it, just by law of reduction, but you're watching a movie in 2021, and you see these tropes being played out, and you're like, damn, you know, but maybe next time.
How did y'all feel about when they were pretty much spilling all the tea with what Danielle was saying about the girls behind their backs? Like, they said, like, she's like, oh, you should call Kayla an ugly lesbian. I can say like ugly lesbian or ugly black lesbian. I got nervous with that scene because I was like, she better not say she called her the N-word. Don't go that route.
I was supposed to say that or the D word.
Yeah. So I was just like, ugh. I don't know how y'all felt about it. Like, why should I be ugly? Yeah.
But I mean, because she was a bully. I mean, because the actress who plays Kayla is absolutely fucking gorgeous. So I think she was just being a hater. This New Year's Eve party looks boring as fuck, too. The New Year's Eve party, it looks boring as fuck.
Oh, it sounded like you said the hard R party.
The what?
The hard R party.
Hard R. Oh, shit.
Oh. And I was like, it was just one of them.
But that house was nice. I'm like, dang, it got a sauna. You have to lock the door from the inside. Like, what? Like, you have to use a key?
That was Cary Grant's old house, according to IMDb.
Oh.
Nice.
Okay, actually, I noticed I just have four gripes. So I have another gripe. So, I know we said spoiler, like we're going to give away spoilers, but I personally don't want to get too much into spoilers because I was surprised by all the different twists and turns this movie took. But there is one part in the movie where two of the characters are locked in a sauna in the house. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get out. And I'm looking like the thermometer is right there on the inside of the sauna. Couldn't they just turn off the sauna? And there was a scene where they tried to open the garage door and they couldn't get it open. I'm like, garage doors can open manually. There's a string there. Like, that's for a reason. But whatever. Nobody asked me when they wrote the script.
Just like, couldn't Tatum get out of the doggy door before she met her demise?
Oh, why did she even try to do that?
Even better.
Skinny bitch privilege.
I was trying to IMDb Kirby's other roles to see if she's been in something bigger I would know of. But
Kayla. The only actress I was aware of was Carly Chaykin, who played Danielle. I knew her from the show Suburbia with
Jim. Oh, I thought you were gonna say ago. Mr. Robot.
Oh, I only watched like the first three episodes of Mr. Robot, but yeah, I forgot she was in that.
Oh, do you watch Jane Levy or damn. The whole thought just went out. It's like my brain's doing a hard reset. It was just like, goodbye.
I really like the scene too, which it was like a minor scene where Alexis is in a bathroom mirror staring at herself. And her image is like contorted. Like she doesn't, her the reflection in the mirror is very different from what she actually looks like. So we see that what she sees. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
I'm glad you said that because I wanted to say this earlier about her perception of what happened to Kelsey. And I think that she does have a distorted view on everything. So she may not remember what happened with Kelsey correctly. And she's been carrying this flame for the wrong situation.
Yeah.
The mind makes you think crazy things.
Yeah, like I really thought the first time I watched this is that it was left with she may have possibly murdered her friend for no reason other than she never got help for some PTSD. I mean, she was a bitch in high school, but she hadn't done anything. She didn't necessarily call Kelsey to die, but she'd been living her life thinking since high school, Danielle did this and we need to kill that bitch.
As I'm thinking back on the movie, I have one more gripe. Is there's a picture of the four girls in Happier Times, but we don't see a picture of the fifth girl, Kelsey, the girl who killed herself. Why was she in that picture?
Maybe she's the one taking it. Like, you're not cool enough to be in the picture. You can take our picture.
I wonder if that was this. I'm burping. Sorry. I wonder if that was a decision with the director if should we include her or not? Because I think including her would have sort of changed the tone of the movie a little bit. We would have understood that death is very present with these girls. I'm just wondering. That's all.
You know, it's an interesting thing. Because, like, I, for example, when she was being waterboarded, Danielle, I was like, are you going to run out of champagne? Or how much fucking champagne's in that bottle? So, you know, a lot of hard decisions were made.
Like, you know the champagne is going to end, like, very quickly.
Yeah.
I would open up my mouth like, ah.
Right? It's New Year's.
And I also was like, it's not very effervescent. Like, it should have been bubbling. It should have been the best facial Danielle had gotten that night.
Oh, boy.
Danielle. Oh, goodness.
When you... All seriousness, I do like the position you just posed, Devin. I think this movie or film or anthology collection has some depth. I mean, there's lots of ways you could take any of this, just depending on whose perspective you see. Like, even, I guess... I don't know if you call it murder or an accident, but what is Kirby's name? Kayla's demise could just be perceived as an accident, or it could be murder. That Chloe was just so jealous that now Kayla, who was her friend and had her life going on, is now her gay friend and has someone she's in love with. Like, it just takes that much more essence away from her. Like, oh, now Kayla has a thing and I still have nothing.
Mm-hmm. I was glad when she met her demise. I was glad because she was pissing me off.
I do like the way the characters were written, because when I started watching the movie, I'm like, oh gosh, another movie. It's one black girl out of this group, and oh, you got the heavy set girl who is funny and promiscuous, and like, that's a trope as well. And you have these other two girls, but then as the movie started peeling back layers, there was a lot more depth to these characters. I like the fact that one of the main characters is gay, and there's not a lot of noise about that. You know, it's not a controversial choice. I like the fact that the girl, Chloe, she was ambitious. I mean, we could say she was a follower, but she was ambitious in her own right. Even Danielle, who was Satan in a skirt, you get her character, her motivations, and even Alexis. It's the twist at the end. It made sense, and you could see that her character had this urge to right certain wrongs from the past. I think Sofia Takal did a very good job with this movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I actually wanted to bring that up right now with... I think that once Into the Dark can resume... I know there's one more film that was supposed to be released this year, and they just didn't. I wouldn't mind seeing a prequel. And let's go to that first New Year's Eve party where Kelsey died.
Mm.
Or give us a midquel and we see them conspiring to murder Danielle.
Oh, I would love to, like, see that conversation happen.
Maybe tee it up in such a way that there is a... I don't know. I don't know how you do it. So that the audience wouldn't know if it was real time or not until, you know, a twist. So we think we're just seeing the day before the New Year's, but really we're seeing the day before New Year's 6 years ago. Something like that. Like,
you think Kayla's girlfriend knew about the plan?
Well, I don't think it was a plan to kill Danielle. Like,
right.
Initially.
Lesson.
Yeah. But, I don't think she knew.
Yeah, I would say probably not, because then you wouldn't get the ending that we got, or it wouldn't be so clean. You would expect a, I don't know, maybe a court trial as the final scene.
Yeah.
I will say I did not like the ending. I didn't like the revelation that Alexis pinned all the murders on Frankie. It's just.
She pretty much. Go ahead. Sorry.
Like, as a gay man, I'm going to be more sensitive to gay images that I see. And it's like, okay, y'all going to blame the lesbian who had no real connection to this group? Okay, got it. Great. I didn't care for that. But outside of that, I like the movie. I still like the
movie. Like, so when they show the scene of, Danielle and Chloe talking, when when Frankie showed up, she's like, we'll just have the police, like, just pin all the murders on her, make her take the fall for it. And you saw Alexis in the background listening, and then come to find out she takes Danielle's story at the end of the movie. She went along with it, so she was just taking shit as she was going. Like, she was like, you know what? I want her life, and I'm going to take her story too.
Right.
Like, that bitch owed me.
I mean, Alexis and Danielle were basically the same character. Danielle was Alexis just in a realized version, but they were both awful people.
That scar on her face, that was from a car accident. Did they say that was it a car accident?
See, I don't know. I always got that was how their friend died. It happened during that, but I don't think it was ever explained properly.
Oh, you do see her break a bottle in one of the flashbacks. Yeah, I kind of assumed it was a car accident, but maybe it's not. They do just say the accident.
Yeah, there's a lot of vagueness. I don't know. Is it a car accident? Is it an accident, like, did the house burn down or something? You know, because this is Alexis' first time coming back to the house since the accident. I also don't understand, too, in the beginning when Danielle was making a video for her YouTube channel. And this is me nitpicking, okay? But she's making her video, her live video for her YouTube channel, and she's filming all the girls. And all the girls are participating, except for, obviously, Alexis. But I'm thinking, if you are part of a plot to, at the very least, torture a girl, why would you want evidence on camera that you were with her around that time?
Right.
Again, I like the movie. There are just a lot of issues with it.
You know what? Since she likes to stick around and do some, like, she likes to do movies that deals with, like, school stuff, maybe go do a back-to-school horror movie. We can, like, forget about Black Christmas 2019 and let her do another one. Maybe just stick to high school. Let's not go to college just yet.
That'd be a good idea.
Let's see if she can graduate from high school horror.
We can try. What about a movie that combines the both? A senior trip during spring break. It'd have to be in the central area because spring break's in the March time. And it just coincides with St. Patrick's Day. And St. Patrick's Day doesn't have to be a focal point. However, the tragedies end up on that day.
Or maybe a high school that's a boarding school.
I'm down with that. We need another horror movie that's take place on St. Patrick's Day that doesn't involve a leprechaun.
Or aliens.
Yeah. Or the hood. Wait.
That it was another Blumhouse. What's it? Into the Dark.
Oh, Into the Dark.
Yeah. I think that was like Crawlers, Creepers, one of those. Began with a C.
You know, I would actually really like to keep, like, why have a double feature of this and Black Christmas. I will watch Black Christmas first.
Yeah, that's the opener this. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can put myself to do that yet.
The characters were just, I mean, even though they were all murderous assholes, the characters in New Year New Me were much more likable. And I wasn't rolling my eyes at them as much as I was in Black Christmas 2019.
Right.
The real question is this going to be coming onto the Blu-ray disc?
You know, I hope so.
I would like to shock for sure.
I like this better than Midnight Kiss, the other Into the Dark New Year's Eve themed film.
Oh.
Yeah, I was kind of iffy on it to admit I kiss to begin with. It's not a great, it's a fun movie, but it's not a great movie. Yeah. This is actually a good ass movie. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. Now that I'm like thinking about, I'm like having flashbacks of Midnight Kiss, and yeah, this has more of a solid story. I just would like to know more about some shit, but. Maybe it's up for us as the viewers to come up with our version of what happened with, what's her name, Kelsey?
Yeah.
What happened to her? Maybe that was like our, we had to come up with like our own interpretation of what happened.
Yeah.
I think you're on to something, because Midnight Kiss, I felt as though it was long and the characters were more visual than actual words. So it wasn't, or words, they were more visual than developed.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Sophia and her co-writer, whomever that was, did a great job of making the most out of the characters with the limited amount of time we had to get to know them and kill them.
Yeah, I mean, the characters of Benicus were definitely like one-dimensional, for sure. Mm-hmm. And the characters in New Me were a little bit more layered. Mm-hmm. You know, is we can, you know, we're doing this as double feature with New Year's Evil, and both films happen at a time where there's a lot of backstory that we as the audience are privileged to. Sorry, I cannot talk today. I know what's wrong with me. But I think that New Year's New Me handled that empty space better. I can visually fill in like the background of these characters, whereas New Year's Evil, I don't know. I'm just throwing darts out into the dark, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess there you have it. Our double feature non-pairing has concluded, just like 2020 did. Again, happy new year. We have tons of stuff not planned for this year, and we're really kind of excited about it. And we can't wait to manifest that into destiny. Is that what people say? Manifest destiny?
Sure.
If you couldn't tell, I completely ad-libbed that part, but we'll see. I am happy that it's a new year. There is a prospect of getting back to a movie theater at some point, perhaps this year. Not necessarily right now. I never made it to a drive-in last year, just because I don't think my car is that comfortable to sit in and watch Tenet for 2.5 hours or however long that movie was.
Yeah.
Just make sure if next time you do go, diligently just leave your windows down. So homeboy dressed up as a priest come there and takes your car and your woman. Just be prepared.
Oh, and New Year's Evil. I'll say, wait, what happened?
I know it's too late, but I found that whole scene off-putting. It's like you're getting fondled while smoking a joint and watching a horror movie.
I feel like you haven't done that, Greg.
We know you get nasty in the core at the drive-in with a joint.
I guess they were supposed to be like high school kids, right?
We've all been 19 once.
Yeah, I mean, I've done some things in some theaters. That part's true. like I'm the only one. Whatever.
I was raised Catholic. I haven't done anything like that.
They're the worst ones. On that note, I think it is time to end it before I say too much, which I fear I've already have.
Wait. I got a question for you guys. What do you guys, how many, on a 4-star rating, what do you guys give New Year's Evil?
Soft 4?
You give it 4 stars?
Oh, wait. On a scale of what?
One to four stars.
Shit. Sorry. You know, it's gonna be 1.5.
Dang, I was just about to say that. I'm going, yeah. 1.5.
It's not horrible. If you were to tell me this is a great, horrible movie, I would probably have a different mindset. All I've known my whole life is that people love this movie and that, you know, it's seasonal to watch.
Right. I believed it to be a different type of movie than what it actually is. And I know people are like, oh, you go get that song stuck in your head. I really didn't. I was not really paying attention to the music. I could care less about it. So yeah, New Year's Evil gets 1.5 punks. I'm going to rate it out of punks.
Damn. All
right, well, Devin, how about you?
It's a healthy 2 stars for me. New Year's Evil is not a good movie. I don't regard it as a good movie, but it is like a tradition I have to watch every year, just like I watch 200 Cigarettes every year. Well, 200 Cigarettes is actually a great movie. I don't mean to compare the
two. I like that movie, yeah.
But it's, there are two films I have to watch on New Year's Eve, and it's not terrible. Like, I get what they're going for, and I can appreciate that. And I also like the nostalgia from the early 80s with the fashion and the hair and the makeup and the music and everything. So
yeah, all those things up. I loved, which, you know, we're not that far apart. 2, 1.5. If we meet in the middle, it's like 1.6.
Sure.
I think that's a good rating for the film for what, 40 years old?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. How many stars?
And still in 4? Circulation. There are plenty of other slashers that no one has a print of.
See, I didn't know that Shout even did a version of this movie, so I'm going to actually go on Shout Factory soon and look up the Blu-ray.
Oh, you're not going to find it there, but...
Oh.
There is a copy somewhere in the world.
Can I have it? Whoever has it? out of 4 stars, what do you guys rate New Year's of You?
I'll give it a 2, but not out of maliciousness, but... I like it, but I've never been driven to watch it again, other than obviously for this podcast.
I would give it 3 champagne bottles.
Oh, I like that.
I like the rating.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be part of your New Year's Eve tradition, Ash?
I think so. I really liked it a lot.
Over New Year's Evil?
Oh yeah, definitely. New Year's Evil was just kind of, it was just boring. No offense to the fans of the film, but it was not my cup of tea.
I'm a fan of the film, but I get it. It is a boring film. I totally get it. I give New Year's to you. I'm gonna give it 2.5 stars.
Okay.
It's just not a 3-star movie, and obviously not a 4-star movie. It's good. I was entertained, and it's going to be part of my lineup going forward. And I'm really impressed with, I guess, the twists and turns of the movie. But there are some issues with the film, and that can be based on the experience of the director. That can be based on the budget. I don't know, but I liked it. 2.5 stars.
Well, then 2.5 + 3 + 2 equals a rating of 2.5 stars. all this math is approximate. Please do not go out of your way to prove me wrong. There's always someone out there. With that being said, say goodnight, folks.
No. Goodnight.